We have three.
I haven't seen him in 3 weeks, Mirz Hashem.
This year, the Mirz Hashem, three more. Maybe we'll combine two, and we'll be finished with the Perek. So, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. Last week, this year, which we missed because the weather was connected to Purim, and I just reworked the Mishnah, and now we'll connect to Parshas Vayakel and Pesach.
Beautiful.
Pesach's on my mind. Hope it's on everyone else's mind. After Purim, and we'll Shamar.
Pesach's on my mind.
Right after we had the Zug, the pair of Hillel and Shammai, which are always found together, arguing throughout the Gemara. Shammai says, "Asei Torah Sakeva, and more Ma'arvi Asei Harbei, v'ham Mikavol Kol Adam B'Sever Panim Yafos." Many Mefarshim point out a parallel between this Mishnah and Hillel's Mishnah of three times ago. Rodef, right, Hillel said, "Hamitavlo shel Aaron, Oliv shalom, Rodef shalom, Oves and Brios and Mekarvim LaTorah." You see, there are three concepts in the Mishnah. There's Oliv shalom, Oves and Brios, and Torah. So too here, you have Torah. Os Torah Shakeva. Omer Ma'ad Vasei Harbe is similar to Oliv shalom, Rodef shalom. You're doing a lot. You're Rodef. You're going after something. Hamikabat Kodem Sever Panam Liyafos is Oves and Brios. So Shammai and Hillel are saying similar things in different ways. But we're going to focus at first on the first statement. Asei Torascha Keva. You should make your Torah permanent. What does that mean? Simply, not on the sheet, but Rashi just says simply, as Rashi does, very simple, clear explanation. Shalotia Kavula Itim El Kol Yom Lomit Torah. Or the opposite approach, he says. There's two different girsahs in Rashi. One girsa is that you shouldn't just learn Torah B'kvias Itim, only certain times, but rather you should make your Torah more permanent. Keva, try to learn not just 10 minutes in the morning and that's it, but try to fill in more time of the day for learning. And he says, Nusach Acher, Tikva Lecha Itim L'mod B'chol Yom Arba Prakim O B'chamisha. The opposite approach. Simple. Also Torah Keva, Kovei Itim L'Torah. Have a set aside time every day where you have a goal to reach. I'm going to learn this many Mishnayos, this page of Gemara, these many Prakim of Tanakh. That's what it means that Torah should be Keva. Another approach, we'll just see also Rabbeinu Yonah here. What does Rabbeinu Yonah say before we go down? Rabbeinu Yonah says, first source on the sheet, Shammai Omer Da'osa Torah Keva, Kemosha Omer Ba'avos Torah Nasan. Kola Osa Torah So Iker, Umalachto Tvela, Osten Osa Iker Li'olam Haba. Whoever makes, this is not necessarily in time, but more in mindset and priorities, we'll see in our next source. Whoever makes Torah the priority, the Iker, and their Malachas Tvela, secondary, then they themselves are made ikar liolam haba, because they prioritize what's important and put that first. So in olam haba, they're going to be put first. Hashem's going to say your priority. If you do the opposite and you put the malacha on top of the Torah and the Torah is tafel, then liolam haba, you'll have the same exact result. Mida kenegan mida. Ratzalomer afa pi shelo asa avera v'lo atar ikar. Person could have been a pretty good person. He wasn't over on Averos. So he tried to live an upstanding, decent life. Even still, if he didn't make his Torah Keva, he didn't make his Torah Iker, the important thing in his mind. What's important to me is my Torah. Afilu ma'i royalios b'Gan Eden tafel yashama. Okay, so you'll get to go to Gan Eden. And you'll go to Gan Eden, and the approach that you'll be given, the attitude that you've had in this world about Torah, the same will be given to you in Gan Eden. You could be there, just like I tried to be there for the Torah. I tried to be there for Torah Mitzvos. But if I didn't make it the most important, the priority in my life, so then when I get to Olam Haba, I'll get to Gan Eden, I'll deserve it. Hashem's not going to limit any schar that I deserve. But if it's not a priority in my life, then I won't be able to enjoy Gan Eden the way I should. Again, similar point. We've been, you know, just adding some chizik to it of the importance of Tarascha Keva. So let's just take a deeper look at what it means, Arsa Tarascha Keva. Skip down, and we'll get back to the next line of the Mishnah. Omer Ma'ad Vasei Harbei. And we'll quote a Gemara in Brachos. I think it's Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Gemara in Brachos in the sixth parak says, Bov, I think the computer switched the... Yeah, they switched the chaf of the bays. Bo rei ma, all the bases are chafs. Ma bein Doros Harishonim, the Doros Achronim. Doros Harishonim, Sh'asu Taraschan Keva, Umalachtan Arai, Vzu Niskaim and Biyadam. Very similar to what we talked about when we learned the Mishnah of Torah and Malacha. With Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael, we said that Rabbi Yishmael, who said that hinag bahen minag derech eretz. So then the Gemara says, harbe asu ki Rabbi Yishmael v'also biyadon. Many tried to be like Rabbi Yishmael and balanced working and learning. And they were successful with that. Mm. And some tried to do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who only learned, and they weren't so successful. The Gemara makes a similar point. The Doros have we shown him. The earlier generations, they made their Torah keva. Their Torah was permanent. Their Torah was the ikar. It was the important thing to them. Umalacht and arai, and their work, that was secondary. First, they made sure their Torah was in order. Zuvazun is kaima biyado. They were successful in both. They had successful parnasa, and they were successful in their Talmud Torah. Doros achronim sh'asu malacht and keva, v'tarasan arai, zuvazu, lonis kaima biyadon. The Doros achronim said, let's try to flip it. We'll make our malacha ikar, and we'll put the Torah not totally to the side, but it will be arai. First, we'll make sure that everything in our business is okay, and if I have free time and I'm not worried about work, then I'm able to focus on learning. So then the Gemara says, Zevizelonis kaima biyadon. They were unsuccessful in both. When they didn't have the proper balance between Torah and their malacha. So the question, obvious question in the Gemara is, how does this make any sense? I understand if you make the Torah arai, tafel, not secondary, not as important, so we understand what Rabbi Yonah said, that in Olam Haba, I won't be as successful, and I won't be able to enjoy Olam Haba as much because I didn't make the Torah into the most important thing. But Olam Hazeh, when it comes to my business, the Gemara seems to say that the relationship works together. The more kev I make my Torah, the more successful I'm going to be in my business. So how does this make sense? How do we understand that? And yes.
Keva can either be, you set aside a set amount of time.
Kovei itim l'Torah. Right.
Or keva means ikar.
Permanent, right. Right.
So those are two separate things.
Yes.
Aspects of it.
The Torah being ikar does not necessarily have to express itself in terms of time. In terms of time,
that's exactly right.
Not necessarily.
And the other way as well, right?
Meaning, I think what you mean is that a person could spend a lot of time learning Torah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Torah is the ikar. You could spend a lot of time learning Torah because you have a lot of free time, and otherwise, or you enjoy the intellectual pursuit. But if a crisis would come up, well, not a crisis, but if something would come up in my business where I could, if I give up on that learning, then I'll be able to, whatever it would be, where it may not be a necessity, so then I'll be quick to leave that aside, opposed to a person who learns for a half hour a day. But that half hour a day, they're untouchable. They're Kodesh Kedushin. Like the Gemara says that, Ein divrei Torah miskaimin ela mishe meimis atzmo aleihem. That Torah is only mekuyim, it's only kept. It's a person's only successful in Torah if they kill themselves. Right? That the pasuk says, Adam kiyamos ba'ohel. Zos Torah ha'chatos Adam kiyamos ba'ohel. That if in the parsha of parsha's para, where you have an ol hames. So there are many interpretations of that Gemara. What does it mean that a person is successful in Torah if they kill themselves over them? But one explanation that's often given is, what does it mean to kill themselves over Torah? It means that when it comes to Talmud Torah, then they're dead. Meaning that if I have a half hour to learn every day, so it's like I'm dead. And if a person's dead, then whatever would be a need, so they would say, I wish my business partner could call me up and ask my advice, but he can't ask my advice because I'm not around. So that's the attitude a person could have when it comes to even the small amount of learning that he has, that for that half hour, I don't exist. The only thing that exists for me is my Torah. And then if I have an emergency, pikuach nefesh, we're not talking about, but if I have even something that's deemed as important, it could wait. Anything could more or less wait. We'll wait a half hour, and you'll see it'll be even more successful. So along those lines, we're going to look at here at a piece of Rav Kook from Ein Hayah. Ein Hayah is...
Now you get the chance to learn.
Ein Hayah is like the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a collection of commentaries on the Agadita of the Gemara. So Ein Hayah, the Ayah stands for Avram Yitzchak HaKohen. So that's Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadita of the Gemara. I think he planned on writing a lot of it. We only have Brachos and Shabbos. But with that small amount, there's a lot there. So in his commentary to this Gemara, he tries to explain how this two-way street works, this interconnection between Olam Hazeh, our malacha and our Torah. And he says, Yesod Hashalva, Fila Biolam Hazeh, Tluya Gam Hi Batikun Hamusar Klaliva Prati. For a person to be in relaxed, for a person to have Menuchas HaNefesh, for a person to have Shalva in this world, then it's not just enough to try to accomplish that in a physical way, but it's also dependent on making sure that spiritually and morally, for him himself and for the world around him, everything is set in its proper way. How so? Ki v'hayos adam mukhtar b'midos tovos b'yiras Hashem u'ba'amuna, hu mishtaver b'harbi dvarim ha'machshilan es kochel u'mechabdin alav es saval achayim. This is ringing again. If a person is mukhtar, he's wearing the crown, he's in control of his midos tovos, he's worked on his midos, and he has everything, as we talked about way back when, in Elul, according to the Rambam, having everything in a proper balance. Right, the Rambam said the Shvila Zav, the Midah HaMumusad, that all the Midos are properly balanced, and his Yiras Hashem, his Amun, his relationship with Hashem is strong. That saves him from many things that would weaken him and cause a lot of hardship in his life. How so? You often find that someone, although tzaddikim have struggles, and they're constantly struggling and battling their Yetzirah, but people who are above the pettiness of this world, not saying they're not involved in this world at all, they could be very involved in this world, but if they're not involved in the pettiness of this world, so then the small things that bother us, that set us off our equilibrium, and don't give us enough shalva, to them they're not going to be bothered by it. Let's say a person's strong in Amunah. If a person's very strong in Amunah, so he tried his best, he did his ishtalis, and he attempted a certain business deal, and it went sour. So of course he'll be bothered, he'll be upset that he lost that money, lost that opportunity, but at the end of the day, if he's strong in his Amunah, it won't affect him in the same way that it would affect someone who is not as strong in his Amunah. Because the person who's strong in his Amunah knows there's a plan for everything, and Hashem said, right now in my life, it's better for me not to have that money. So if a person has everything in order in his spiritual life, he'll save himself a lot of hardship in this world. How so? He'll be happy, he'll find nachas from whatever little, not really little in his eyes, but whatever Hashem gives him, he'll be happy with. But if a person does the opposite, he explains, and then whatever he's lacking, his midos tell him, he hasn't perfected his midos, or even worked on his midos. So whatever he's lacking, he says, I want more, I'm never satisfied. Then he'll find himself frustrated and have hardship in his life. Continue. By trying to always gain more and more, his musar, not his moral instinct and his outlook on the world isn't properly in order, and if his midos haven't been worked on, then they're going to turn him towards taiva and trying to get and pushing his boundaries of getting more and more, and will affect him negatively. Even if he acquires wealth, and that's what the Gemara is saying, that the Doros have shown him, they made their Torah Keva, meaning, not just Torah Keva, I put in my hour every morning, I learn my Dav Yomi. The Torah was Keva, the Torah was permanent in their lives. The Torah made the impact that it's supposed to make in their lives, and then that spread forth to every area of their life. Their Torah affected their Midos, and it affected their involvement in Gashmios, and they were happy with what Hashem gave them. And since they were happy, Zuvazunis Kaima Biyado, they were relaxed, they had Menuchas HaNefesh, they had Shalva, and they were able to invest whatever strengths they had to their business and to their Parnas, and they were successful in it because the strength that they had, their ability to give their Kochos towards their parnasa, they had a lot of strength for it because they had their Torah in the morning or whatever it was, and that affected the rest of their being, and they were in a relaxed attitude and outlook where they were able to accomplish a lot in their life. Whereas if someone says, I'm going to do the opposite, then they're never going to be successful because they're always going to be chasing this dream they're never going to reach, and they won't have the shalva, the menuchas hanefesh, the ability to attain it because there's nothing else guiding it. It's just pure search for more and more, as Rav Kook's Lashon is pushing the boundaries. Wherever you're going to reach, you're going to say, I want more, and there's nothing to stop it. The Torah Keva is there to stop and temper the Malacha. And when the two are balanced, and the Torah is the Keva, the Malacha is the Ra, even if it's not necessarily in time, but it's an outlook on life, and Torah is permanent in someone's life, then their whole outlook on life changes, and it's able to affect, as he explains, their midos, their emuna, their yerushimayim, which then in turn affects their, the way he describes it, your actual physical feelings and emotional feelings. Psychologically, your outlook, everything's more relaxed, and you're able to then be more successful in all your endeavors. And that's the importance of putting Torah Keva according to Rav Kook. It's not just a mitzvah that we want to set us, that's of course that it is, and we want to have a proper attitude towards it, as Rabbi Yonah said, but it's there to shape our entire outlook, and therefore being more successful people in life. That's the first part of the Mishnah. That's the Torah Keva. Now let's go on to the next part of the Mishnah. And more ma'at v'yaseh harbeh. Simply meaning, see Rashi says a simple explanation, and more ma'at v'yaseh harbeh.
So what is the first part have to do with the second part?
That's where we're going to... Okay. We didn't even say the second part yet, so we'll have our first part. We know what Torah Sekeva means. Let's say what Amor Ma'ad Vaseh Harbeh means, and then we'll try, and then we could ask, and then maybe we'll ask your question.
Maybe, okay.
So what does Amor Ma'ad Vaseh Harbeh mean? Rashi just says an example. Where do we know in the Torah? I think Rashi and Chumash also quotes this. From where Rashi says something similar to it, that the tzaddikim say a little, and they accomplish a lot, and Rishayim do the opposite. Rishayim will say, I'm gonna do so much for you, and end up doing nothing. What example in the Torah does Rashi single out, where I think in some he says the same thing as well, by Avram and Ephron. By Avram, Rashi says that when I think the Malachim were visiting him, so it says, Vayikach pas lechem. Avram offers the Malachim some bread. Uvesof Amar, Vayikach ben bakar rach v'tov. He gives them a big piece of meat, a whole big roasted piece of meat, and more food. So he says a little bit, and he does a lot, and by Ephron, the whole interaction between Avram and Ephron says, sure, you can have it for free, I wanted to give this to you, and at the end of the day, Avram ends up shelling out a lot of money to Ephron, because he had a lot of talk, but when it came to action, he wasn't able to follow through. So that is what the Mishnah means. On a simple level, we understand why it's important, because the point of accomplishing things in this world is to do. We're here in this world to accomplish, to do things, and by saying a lot and then doing very little, it's the opposite. We might as well just keep quiet and try to accomplish as much as we can. There's no point in talking about it. But Rabbi Yonah, we have a second source on the sheet, takes it a little bit deeper and gives another example. Let's say you promise your friend you're going to give him a ride to the airport, or you're going to help him build on a construction project together, you're going to help him repair something in his house. Amar lo ma'ad v'asolo harbeh. Say, I'll come over. And you don't say, I'm going to come over from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You say, I'll come over. I'll see what I can do when I can help. In your mind, you know when you get there, you're going to do much more. You're going to stay the whole time with him. You're not going to just drive him to the airport. You're going to park the car. You'll help him with the stuff. You'll help him check in. But you don't have to tell him all that. Just say a little bit and do a lot. For whom he derech ha-musar v'chassidus. This is such an important concept. It's the ways of moral righteous people, and it's also the way of a chassid, as we explained. The whole point of Pirkei Avos is Haiman in our introductory shiur. Haiman l'mahavi chassid. Who wants to be a chassid? You should learn Pirkei Avos. But l'manu li'avram avino dechsev v'kach pas lakim v'acharech v'kach hama chalav ben bakar acher amor perish acher. Okay, that's his first explanation. When I do a favor for you, I'm going to say a little bit. I'm going to do a lot, like we saw by Avram. Perish acher amor ma'av asay harbei he midos elyonos. It's not just the midah of Musar and chassidus. It's a midah elyonos. What does elyonos mean? From on high. It's a midah of Hashem. Hashem does this. How so? Rabbi Sinazal lamdu mekarsh baruch yisparach. Shelo hivtiach el b'shtei osios. Shenemer. Dan anochi. This is Yitzias Mitzrayim, right here. When were we first told about Yitzias Mitzrayim? In Bris Bein Avisarim. Hashem tells Avram that sun sets and it's dark and Avram's scared, and he says that your children go down to Golus, and the nation there is going to put suffering and put them into slavery, and then that guy, that nation, in the end, Dan Anochi, I'm going to judge them, I'm going to redeem you, and I'm going to punish the Mitzrayim. So two words. He promises us that we're going to be redeemed from Mitzrayim through two words, Dan Anochi. V'galam b'sheva v'esrim milos. And when the Torah describes the Geula, it uses 27 words. Shenemar, oh, he nasi elokim lavo lakachs lo goy mikarev goy. The pasuk continues, was there ever such a thing like this in history where we saw Hashem's open miracles taking one nation from out from another nation? So the way after it, that was after it already happened, that's a dvarim. When it's already happened, the way Hashem describes the Geula is in many words. Hashem said a little bit, Tan Anochi, no Nisim, just I'm going to judge the Mitzvah and you're going to be free. So he could have, the Mitzvah could have just let them go and they would have walked out of Mitzvah without any fanfare. But Hashem turned it into a greater lesson, and really the root of our Amunah, as we say, Anochi Hashem Mekech Hashem Yitzchem Yaretz Mitzrayim, that through Yitzchem Mitzrayim, he did much more. So Hashem was Omer Ma'ad Vasei Harbei. The Alzem Rav Sadia Gonzal, Im Lahavtiach Es Avoseinu B'Shtei Elsos, Aslam Kamenisim V'Niflos Algu. So if Hashem in Mitzrayim promised us that there's going to, promised Avram there's going to be a Geula with two words, and he took those two words and turned them into the ten makos and the open miracles that we describe every year at the Seder, in which we learn so much inspiration from, and all our Muna comes from, just those two words, Ala Geula Asida Lavo, Shenichtavu Kama Dapim, V'Kama Kontrasim, V'Kama Svarim, Me'avtachos, V'Kama Nechamos, B'Yirmiya, B'Neviyam. So in terms of the future, when Mashiach comes, it's not just two words. We have full Svarim in Tanakh that describe what's going to happen, how the Geula is going to happen, the Nechama that Hashem, the Nechama Hashem is going to show to his nation, the wrath in which he's going to punish the nations who have mistreated us. There are many psukim that are written about the Yemos Mashiach and the final Geula. So then, Alach es kam v'kama, ki nifloi miyo maisa, v'mash eftiach nafshenu, yodos ma'od. V'yishol adam ladas, lachshol v'dabar lasesas libo, ki tzchar gadol yelo m'mnei havtachos. And a person should think about this, that if Yetzias Mitzrayim was only two words originally, Dan Anochi, and it turned into what we know, so there are so many more words that describe the future redemption, that a person should realize that and believe in the promise that Hashem promised us, and there's Schar Gadol, there's a lot of reward waiting for someone who believes in these promises and hopes to see them. So Rabbeinu Yonah turns these words, Amor Ma'av Nasei Arbei, not just a good advice to being a righteous person, but to learn from the ways of Hashem and to tap in and connect better with Hashem's promise towards the Geula. So the focus of this line in the Mishnah, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is towards the Geula, hoping for the Geula and realizing the great miracles that will be involved with that Geula. Now, Jay's question could stand. So how do we bring these two pieces of the Mishnah together? Asi Toras Chakeva, which we learned, A, like you said, two aspects of learning, time and importance. And then we saw in Rav Kook how important that is for our lives, that it's going to shape our whole lives, our whole outlook on our lives, our whole parnasa. All our feelings, good feelings, will all be shaped from Torah being Keva. And then we have Amar Ma'ad V'Asei Harbei, to say a little, do a lot, which Rabbeinu Yonah says is the whole lesson of the Geula. That the way we're going to be redeemed in the future is in this matter of Omer Ma'ad V'Asei Harbei. And if we have so much to say about the future Geula, how great those Nisim will be to anticipate. So what's the connection between our Torah being such an important part of our lives and the future Geula? So look down in the next source, a fascinating Medrash. I've heard this idea before, but I think it's the first time I saw the Medrash inside and was able to fully understand what's going on here. So, not fully, but partially. The fourth source here, Medrash Koheles, is more in the context over there. The Medrash in Koheles says, Torah she'adam lomed balam hazeh. The Torah that we all learn, that we're learning right now in this world, hevel hi lifnei toraso shel Mashiach. It's going to be nothing compared to the Torah of Mashiach. When we learn Torah in this world, okay, that's one thing, and how we understand it, and what we get out of the Torah, that's great. But the Torah of Mashiach, how much more so will that Torah be? When you compare the two Toros, there can't be a comparison. What in the world is Medrash saying? What does it mean, the Torah of Mashiach? We know, many say every morning, the 13 principles of Yud Gimel Ani Mamim, the Rambam codified for Klal Yisrael, and one of those Ani Mamins is that the Torah that Hashem gave us on Sinai is the Torah V'lo Tiyah Mechlefes. There will never be another Torah. So what in the world does it mean that there's this Torah, there's Torah for Olam Hazeh, and there's the Torah of Mashiach? It can't mean that it's a different Torah. Well, Mashiach's not going to come and switch Chamish Chomshei Torah. The other religions believe that when the Messiah comes, then the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu are over a battle, and Chas v'Shalom, that the Medrash should be saying anything like that. So what is the Medrash saying? What does it mean there's a Torah of Mashiach? What would Mashiach be adding to the Torah? The way many of the Mefarshim understand it is obviously we're talking about the same Torah. It means our understanding of Torah in terms of the depth of understanding of Torah. And there are a few ways to take that. We'll see different interpretations, but just in a general form, to understand Torah, we may have, maybe even the greatest Torah scholar who's able to get to the depths of Torah and understands on a deep level, he knows that it's just a drop in a vast ocean, and to really understand Torah in a deep way is beyond, in the deepest way, is beyond the average human capabilities. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was out of all the people who ever existed, understood the Torah on the highest levels. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Memtesh Shari Chachma, but the 50th Shari of Chachma, that was held away from him. That even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't fully understand the Torah on the deepest of levels. And the Vilna Gaon, in his Perush to Shir HaShirim, expresses this idea of what's going to happen to the Torah in the Yemos HaMashiach, and he explains that we often, this is what Shir HaShirim is all about, often we describe the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people as a relative, as a sister. Shir HaShirim often says Achosi.
Achosi.
That we're describing Klal Yisrael as a sister. And other times, in Shir HaShirim, we describe the relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a kala, as a dode, as someone of more intimate relationship, as like a husband and wife. And the Vilna Gaon says, what's the difference? So the difference is that with a familial relationship, a mother, a sister, so it's perfectly normal that the affection they show for each other, the way in which they interact with each other affectionately, is equally true in private and public. It's just as normal for the mother to give her child a kiss goodnight, or for the mother or sister to give their child or their brother a kiss as they go off on the way to school publicly. So that form of affection between that relationship is something that's not set aside for in private. Whereas when it comes to a husband and wife, their ultimate forms of affection are solely in private. And the Vilna Gaon says, based on the Pasuk Shir HaShirim, that in the future, what we once viewed as a relationship between a kala is going to turn like a relationship towards a sister. Meaning that the real close affectionate relationship that we have in this world with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, meaning what the Gra is saying, understanding Torah, what he's talking about, Torah Sanister, to understand Torah in the deepest of ways of Kabbalah, of what Torah is really all about, of how it really represents everything that Hashem is for us through the Torah, that's only in private. No one publicly, people that fully really understand Kabbalah, don't talk about it in a public way and explain all the secrets of Torah. That's for a husband and wife. That's in the closed bedroom. In the future, that relationship is going to turn into like a sister. That closed quarters of the secrets of Torah are going to become so revealed, as the Pesukim in Yeshaya says, that the Das of Hashem is going to be like the air, like the water. It's just going to be out there. Everyone's going to be able to understand a clear knowledge of Hashem. So Torah that was set aside for a select few, for the secrets, are now going to be out publicly in the street, and we're going to be able to take advantage of it. That's what's going to change in the Torah of Mashiach. We're going to be able to understand Torah in a more intimate, what was once intimate and for a select few is going to be able to be, it's going to be intimate, but it's a different form of relationship where that's going to be there publicly, and we're all going to be able to latch on and grasp and understand that Torah. And this idea is expressed practically by many tzaddikim, describing what's happened already. We're in that stage where the Torah of Mashiach has started to be revealed. There are many sources, proofs to this, and none other than I don't have to go to Kabbalah, but just the Chafetz Chaim, which we all know from the Mishnah Berurah, very straight thinker. Chafetz Chaim said in his time, I think we once quoted this before, that in his time, actually I think it was somewhere else, in his time, he already saw all the signs of the coming of Mashiach. In the Chafetz Chaim's time, this is before the Holocaust and the rebirth of the state of Israel. So if the Chafetz Chaim would say that, all the more so in our generation, that they're
seen.
Clear, we are seen, and we're in the footsteps in the coming of Mashiach. And if that's true, then we should expect that some of this Torah has already been revealed to our generation. And this is said in very interesting ways, and really opposite ways, so everyone could appreciate this. So it's brought in the next source, from one of the greater, earlier Hasidic sources, that and this is brought in many, so I just happened to pick this one sefer. The Likutei Amarim from Shlomo Milosk, Losker, Ad Asher Mechemos Hashem Aleinu Hir Or Yisrael, Hu Arav Elokei HaKadosh, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, Hu Gilu Mekor Yikar Tferes Chachma Zu, Al Kol Kutz Vekotz, Tali Talam Shalichos Olam, Hal Yonim Vaha Is Achtu So Baolam Atachton, Bechol Tenua Vehilach Vedibur, Vod the Karam Zal Al Chanoch, Shahai Chofer Minoyim Vaha Omer Al Tfira Vetfira Vashim Yichud. Says, about the Baal Shem Tov. Now, what did the Baal Shem Tov do when he revealed and he started the entire Hasidic movement in terms of Torah? He was able to reveal in the littlest kol kutz v'kutz with tali tali and shal halichos olam, that in every tiny, right, we like refer to kutz shal yud, the crowns, the little small things on top of the letters of the Torah, even those small letters, he revealed for us halichos olam, ways of life, understandings of life, even in the smallest areas of Torah, which we thought were just simple psukim, simple narratives of the Chumash, not saying something so deep, he was able to reveal for us the deeper approaches of the Torah, and this is, we're already getting into a little bit of the Kabbalah, this achdusa b'olam ha-tachtona b'chol tnua, that Hashem's achdus in every form of this world, this is part of the major teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, that all that happens in this world, really in essence, all this world is achdus Hashem, Hashem's unity. Once Hashem created the world and allowed for the world to be there, but in a certain level, as we read in, it's actually partially Rashi, partially Kisisa, that when the Chumash says that there's a makom iti b'tzur, that Hashem's gonna, when Moshe says to reveal, Moshe asks for Hashem to reveal his face, and Hashem only shows him his back, so the Chumash says there's a makom iti b'tzur, there's a place with me in the rock, and Rashi says
yeah,
that
in the rock, right.
What's makom iti? He says that the we place is that. With me, but I am mekomo sha'olam. I am Hashem, I am really the place of the whole world, meaning that Hashem's presence fills this whole world, and we get involved in all our physical things. We may not be able to see it, but it's really there in everything, in our work, in our interactions. It's really rooting back to Hashem's Yichud, Hashem's One, Hashem's presence, and that's part of the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, to show through Torah, and then in turn should affect the rest of our life, that everything is from Hashem, and they describe it. Many of the Svarim, that is the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, that this Torah that was already there from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Chazal, through the Arizal, the Torah of Kabbalah, the Torah of the secrets of Torah, what the Baal Shem Tov did is he revealed it in a way that even simple people could understand it on a simple level, and that, they say, is already the Torah of Mashiach being revealed in for our generation, and for the generations that have developed it to come, from starting from him, and that's one aspect, that's what we would expect when you say of Torah Shel Mashiach, the Torah of the secrets of Torah being revealed in a certain fashion for our generation, and through his Svarim and through his teachings and all the Svarim that came out from there, a person could grab onto that and deepen his appreciation and understanding of Torah. And a similar comment is said about probably the most opposite person you could think of in Jewish history and in the most opposite way of learning, and that's said about the Vilna Gaon. In one of the Svarim that the Vilna Gaon printed, the Vilna Gaon also was a master of Kabbalah, and there are a lot of writings of Vilna Gaon we have in his commentaries on Kabbalah. So in one of those Svarim, Safra de Tzinusa, so Reb Chaim Volozhiner, his, which we've quoted this year, the author of Nefesh Chaim and Ruach Chaim, the one who started the Yeshiva Volozhin, so he was right. One of the great disciples of the Vilna Gaon, he writes a whole biography. Not a biography of, you know, this is where he was born, this is what he accomplished, but just his take and his view of what his Rebbe was and what his Rebbe stood for, and what he accomplished for the Jewish people for the rest of history. And in this Hakdama, he describes what the Chiddush of the Vilna Gaon was. What did he do? What did he do to the learning of Torah that wasn't there before there was a Vilna Gaon? Before there was a Vilna Gaon, we learned Halacha, we had the Shulchan, we learned Gemara, and we had the Shulchan Aruch, and we had all the commentaries. What is it the Vilna Gaon came and made such a revolution? Did he really change things in such a significant way? So this is what he says. In the end of the first line, Bechemlash Hashem Aleinu, through Hashem's great mercy, Lahakim as Dvaru HaTov, Kilo Tishkach, Sholanu Ir V'Kodesh Mishmaya, Asher Ish Asher Ruach Elokim Ba, Rabbeinu HaGadol HaGon, Or HaOlam Asher Kedushas Tarasov V'Kaso HaChriz Olav, Mesof HaOlam At Sofo. Hashem revealed in these recent generations, in order so that Kilo Tishkach Mizaro, Pasuk Navi says that, so the Torah shouldn't be forgotten from his children, from the Jewish people. If it wouldn't be, says Chaim Volozhiner, maybe the Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people if it wouldn't be for the Vilna Gaon. Hashem sent us down a great person whose Sidkus announces itself from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Marana Rabbana Marina Rav Chasida Kadisha Mi Vilna, Asher Kol Raz Lo Anasle. Any secret of Torah was not escaped from him. V'hir einenu al pi chibirav ha-krushim b'niglos v'nistaros ha-talumos chachma yotzi l'or demetrin migal yilana Lan Laman Sidko Lahagdil Taros Yisparach Lahadiro. Through all his writings, whether it's a Nigla or a Nister, he was able, through his great Chachma, to reveal to us things that were hidden from us. Through his great Sidkos, to Lahagdil Torah Lahadiro, to make Torah greater. Ulharosino Niflos Mitaroso Yisparach Haflia Hagdil Chasto Imanu Varima Yanamish Mayakvar Anosh Ata. That he gave us such a precious person. There was no one like him, even from previous generations before him. If it wouldn't be that we would have the lev ladas, the heart to understand what he was for us. Asher zeh hachadarcha because me'od lahaskil his boni lahaskil yigias gedolos v'noros ein laharich. How hard he worked to understand everything we can't describe. The chol pel yolo sapu b'dveikos atzum nifla me'od b'kdusha yisera v'tara nifla ad asher zach lavo ad ketzat tfunasim lios olam kulam brurim lamitasim mekorim makom ha'mekorim kulam. That through his clarity of Torah, he brought to this world clarity that would have been without it. And he describes, and this is anyone who knows exactly what the Vilna Gaon's method was, he brought the Torah back to the way it was learned from the time that we showed him. And we're not talking about Kabbalah here. We're talking about the study of Halacha. He mastered, and then all the other ways of learning that came after him stemmed from him to be able to go back to the sources, to go back to the Gemara, and understand clearly what the Gemara is saying and what the Rishonim are saying. And that's the way he did Halacha. If you look in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, it's not a question from here, and how do we answer this, and how do we resolve this contradiction? It's clear. It's the source, where it comes from, and everything's working back in a clear fashion towards the sources. And then the next source we don't have to read inside, but Rav Aryeh Leib Malin, who was one of the great Rabbanim who escaped with the Mir Yeshiva to Shanghai, and then later established, and it was part of the group that came here to New York, and has many his svarim with his chidushim. So he describes from what he saw in Europe from Chaim Soloveitchik already a few generations after the Vilna Gaon, his derech and limud, how that was revealed to us specifically in our generation, in order that the Torah should be learnt by people in our generation to be understood specifically by us. Because if it wouldn't have been for them, then our capabilities, our way of learning, our way of understanding wouldn't have matched in which the way the Torah was learned. And what these tzaddikim did for us is made the Torah accessible for our generation and paid forth new paths in Torah to allow us to latch on. And that's what we mean by the Torah of Mashiach, that the Torah is going to be revealed in new ways, and they may seem simple to us. Like if you learn the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and he says a mashal, it may seem very simple to us and we could be inspired by a simple mashal, but behind that mashal is a very deep teaching rooted in Kabbalah and the Achaz of Hashem. And so too, if you learn Halach from the Vilna Gaon, you may think it's very simple. He just says one line in the Shulchan Aruch. But really, rooted in those words, there are many Sfarim that are written on lines of the Vilna Gaon in a certain area of Shulchan Aruch. Kirk actually wrote a Sefer on Choshen Mishpat, and he took a line, and he developed a whole book out of a few lines of the Vilna Gaon. Because even though it seems simple, there's a lot of depth behind it. And that's what it means, the Torah of Mashiach. So to combine the two ideas of making Torah Keva and the Geula is this combination. By making Torah Keva more a part of our lives, as Rav Kook explained, and it can impact our whole lives, and having the perspective that there's such a thing as a Torah of Geula, that by trying to understand the Torah in a deeper way, and what's been revealed specifically from our generation, we can bring ourselves closer to those levels of Torah, and then bring ourselves closer, by definition, to Geula. And that's how it ties in to Pesach and the Parsha,
yeah,
very quickly.
That's what I wanted to hear.
That Pesach, part of the Galus of Pesach, is that the Maharal speaks about, is the Torah was in Galus as well. By definition, the link between Klai Yisrael and the Torah, that when we're in Galus, the Torah is in Galus with us as well. That we, like Rav Kook is saying, if you don't have the Yishev Hadas, if you don't have the ability to think clearly, to feel good, then the Torah can't be learned in the proper way. So in the service of the Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim, obviously the Torah couldn't be developed. And we needed to get out to have Matan Torah. And how does that fit in to Parshas Vayakel? Parshas Vayakel, the first thing that we read is about Shabbos. Again, Shabbos in the Mishkan, because after the Geula Mitzrayim, to just have the Geula Mitzrayim wasn't enough. We have to bring that into something tangible into the Mishkan, into having Kedusha in this world, and that's through the Mishkan and Kedusha in place and Kedusha in time through Shabbos. And Shabbos, as we know, is a taste of Olam Haba. Ooh. And through the Torah and Shabbos, through connecting to Shabbos, through the Torah, as we're saying, we could tap into the Torah of the Geula. Because Shabbos has a taste already of the final Geula. What Rabbeinu Yonah is describing, the things that we have on Shabbos, times an infinite amount of feelings we'll have when the actual Geula comes. But through connecting all these things together, the Torah, the Geula, and through Shabbos, we're able to appreciate what it really means to have Torah Keva and impact in all the areas of our life.
Kaya.
Kaya.